Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly, where we always are on Mondays during the Eagles season. Jordan Mailata Show at 6 with Jordan Mailata. And then at 7 o'clock, the Players Lounge, Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Speaking of quarterbacks, Donovan McNabb, who usually joins us at 4, will join us at 4:30 because Nick Sirianni's press conference, which was supposed to start at 3:15, is going to start momentarily.
Sure.
It should be... How many questions do you think it takes for them to get to the AJ question? Three?
3.5. I'll set the over-under at 3.5.
I'm going under. Ike, you taking the over or the under?
The under.
Yeah, I'll take the under as well.
Yeah, Elliot's not going to let that thing linger out there.
Yeah, come on.
You think he's not getting in there to the fourth question?
Well,
I think it also ice him out. He was a bulldog with the Petullo question last week. Maybe they're like, all right, timeout. It's on Zoom, so they control who questions him.
They do. You can't just yell out.
Thank you. Yeah, we've breaking the stuff down.
Well, we know what you're doing, Nick. You tried to delay this long enough, figure all the reporters would forget it was happening. So, we'll just talk to Nick tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tweet? What tweet? I didn't see a tweet. I don't even know what tweets are. I thought Twitter was gone.
What was it, a PR meeting before the... Come on.
Probably.
It probably, but we had it all day. Think about the show. Donovan, every Monday at 4.
Yeah.
He did have all day. It's not like it's a recent tweet.
What do you think?
It came out yesterday.
And it's still up.
And it's still up.
They didn't even need a screenshot.
What do you think their reaction was when they saw it?
Because
that was right before the flight. Seems like. So they had the whole flight on.
Oh, it was definitely on the plane.
Yeah.
Just sitting in the back.
There was at one point in my career where I lived in fear of the people who worked for me's tweets.
Oh, yeah.
I was program director, that was my worst fear, was when I woke up in the morning looking at Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, what they do today, what they do. Oh, okay. All right. This is okay. When Angelo.
Well, that was mainly Angelo.
Angelo's Twitter. Angelo's Twitter was not a.
You have to wake up before Angelo was able to send a tweet out.
Yeah.
So you get on top of it.
Then the New York Twitter was a.
They didn't worry you as much.
No, they did. Oh, they did.
They was worse. They were worse.
It was actually the lower guys on the totem pole. It wasn't the AJ Browns.
Okay. Ooh, name names.
No.
The lower guys on the totem pole.
Well, I just remember saying to one of them, I said, "You are not important enough for me to have this conversation with you."
Right.
I don't need to have to worry about you on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't need to worry about your tweets. Yes.
there is this one guy. Oh, man, why am I forgetting his name? The update guy that was on in the morning when Jerry's not there. Why can't I remember his name?
Peter Schwartz?
No.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
What?
This can't get clipped and sent to New York that I can't remember his name. Yeah. In any case, there was a guy that thought he was going to get a job at WFAN. He ended up not getting the job, and he went on Twitter to talk about it.
Wow. Crystal Presti.
And he said he was mulling his future at WFAN.
Wow.
And I looked at it, and I was like, are you?
Really?
You're mulling your future? But
Rod used to have to worry about Hugh's tweets, but
they've
gotten better.
Hugh actually made me nervous when I wasn't even program director here. It made me nervous for Rod.
Yeah.
You know how when when a guy's wife or whatever is pregnant, they can get sympathy pains or whatever?
Right, right.
I was having program director sympathy
for
pains
Rod,
for Rod. For Hugh. I thought Elliot said Nick was 1 minute away.
Once again, I don't know if we can trust that.
Where is Nick Sirianni?
Are we sure he's there? Are we sure he's in the building?
Hold on. This thing's supposed to start at 3.
It was supposed to start at 3:15. And then Elliott said he's 3 minutes away.
4 o'clock.
He's got to drop out of top five, out of Eagles inside of the year this week.
Nick's waiting until the show is over.
Yeah, well.
He can't pull Jalen. Jalen starts his press conference at 5:30.
I have news for you, Nick. I will stay on the air till tomorrow if I have to. I ain't going anywhere.
Answer the question.
Can you imagine Jordan sitting here while Nick answers the question?
While Nick's press conference is going on.
215-592-9494. I promise you, we will get you Nick Sirianni as soon as it's live. Also, Donovan McNabb joins us at 4:30. James in Nashville.
It could be 5 now.
Yeah, James in Nashville. You're on WIP. What's up, James?
No, boys.
What's up, James?
If it's not one thing, it's the other.
That's
hey,
Philly.
I just need to know real quick, did you have eyes on Jack when that caller called in about trade Jalen Hurts? Are we sure he didn't just call in with a voice changer?
No,
that's
Jack,
a good question.
Jack loves Reese, though.
I shut that down quickly. So that's a ridiculous thought.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. But, yeah, I told you guys, wasn't scared of nothing until, you know, the second half, and then I was absolutely terrified the entire time.
That sounds like an Eagles game,
honestly. But that just seems to be the story of the year this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 3 1 score games. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 4-0. They've scored a total of 20 points more than their opponents in four games. So, but I mean, it is when you look at the schedule, it's the hardest part of the schedule. Those four, I don't think anybody, you would have to be so optimistic to have the Eagles at 4-0 at this point.
Even I had them at 3-1.
Yeah, so I go back and forth. You watch this
hater.
You watch this team every week. You see the places you know they could be better, but then you look at the record and you think, well, they were 2-2 last year. They're 4-0, and if the worst problem is the wide receiver's tweet, we're doing okay so far, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to argue with, 20 out of 21 games when the quarterback finishes the game?
Yep.
So, yes, I don't know. Only thing I can say is moment of silence for the Mets.
Oh, it was so sad.
R.I.P.
Yeah, so sad.
Fighting Reds got in there, man.
Yep. Oh, somebody's excited.
Yeah. Well, I am. Unless we have to face them.
Oh,
then I won't be excited.
Well, we got to have a real moment on the show if it's Phillies Reds.
I'm sure we will.
You know what? Lakin's got to get the lie detector in.
Yes.
For Ike.
Finally.
Yes.
Now, heavy room.
And hey, just one more quick thing, guys. Can we talk real quick about the Cooper DeGene AI step over?
Actually,
finally.
Hang on, James.
Sorry, James.
Here is Nick Sirianni.
Sorry for being late. Was obviously in a meeting. Went over. So apologize and make you guys wait.
Nick, I'm sure you saw the AJ post on social media where he quoted scripture and said, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. Is it your understanding that AJ still wants to be here?
Yeah. Obviously AJ is very important to this football team. I know he wants to contribute. I know he wants to contribute and, do the things that he's capable of doing. He wants to contribute into these wins. And he's had a couple games where he hasn't been able to, and for different reasons of why we haven't in these games. So, I question nothing about, his desire to play great football, his desire of being a good teammate, his desire to be here.
We'll go to Jeff Nyberg and then John McMullen.
Nick, how do you go about addressing a situation like that with AJ? Is it something you talked to him about last night after it happens? Do you talk to him today? Have you talked to him, and what was that conversation like?
Yeah, obviously, always talk to him. Somebody I talk to on a daily basis. I try to reach out to all our guys on a daily basis and won't get into, any private conversations that we have with any of the players about any topic, right? That's a sacred relationship between the head coach and players, and we'll always keep that private, but always in constant communication with all these guys.
We'll go to John McMullen and then Dave Zangaro.
Hey, Nick. On field, after you got to watch the film, first half versus second half, we've talked in the past about manufacturing touches. You don't really want to force it at times, but what is your responsibility? What is KP's responsibility when it is going a little bit sour, three and out, three and out, three and out, to sort of maybe kickstart that thing?
Yeah, you know, we're responsible. I'm responsible for everything that happens on that field, offense, defense, special teams. That's the job of a head coach, is to be responsible for all that. So, and, you know, obviously as coaches, you want to put them in positions to succeed for different reasons. We were really successful in the first half, played a really good first half, and, you know, wasn't as successful as second half. You know, had some, you know, negative plays, had some calls we want back, had some plays we'll want back, you know, as players and coaches. But, you know, I think, you know, when we talk about our efficiency, we want to hit explosives, we want to be efficient, we want to protect the football. You know, we had some plays that moved backwards, right, for different reasons. And so, you know, which again was kind of some of the things that happened, you know, in the previous game, that we moved backwards a little bit on first and second down. So, which makes it tough on third down. So again, need to be explosive, need to protect the football while still and need to be efficient. And there was times for different reasons, like I said, we weren't that in that second half.
We'll go to Dave and then Rube.
Hey, Nick, in a more general sense, when there are some frustrations in the locker room, what have you learned in your role as a head coach about the best way to deal with those?
Yeah, open, honest communication. And I think it starts with, you know, the relationship that you build with the guys before, you know, anything, you know. So, but it's always about being open and being honest. And it's always about the relationship. So again, I know he wants to contribute to what we're doing out there, especially, you know, when, you know, we had the second half that we had. And again, like I said, never question the teammate he is, never question the effort that he plays with, and the player that he is and the person that he is.
We'll go to Rube and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. In the second half, the defense came up with some real big stops at key moments. Gave up a lot of yards, but tough in the red zone, a couple takeaways. What is it about this defense and these guys that enables them to come up with those clutch type of plays at key moments in games, and how important is that?
Yeah, obviously, anytime you win the turnover battle, that's a big deal, and we were able to force some turnovers yesterday, you know, and then you count the block punt, and then you also count the turnover on downs on fourth down stop. What I see with our defense is 11 guys just going as hard as they can, flying to the football, right? We missed a couple more tackles than we've missed in the past yesterday. But what was so cool to see is those didn't turn into explosives. You know, their teammate was right there for them, right next to them in the swarm to make the tackle if we missed one. So that's what really stands out is the relentless effort. You know, the play that Jod has the interception on, you know, I didn't even notice it in the game until I saw it, you know, on film and looked at it on film. Reed gets a hand on that, right? Reed gets a hand on that and kind of makes it look like it wasn't a great throw. And Baker was trying to put it over top Jihad's head, and Reed gets a hand on that to allow Jihad to make that play. So it's them playing together for each other and with relentless effort, and which is what you want on defense, right? Just that relentless effort. And they made we made some really big plays in some critical moments. Obviously have things to clean up, you know, with some of the explosives that were hit. But, you know, when you're playing that hard and for each other, that good things happen.
We'll go to Zach and then Brooks.
Thank you.
Hey, Nick, if I can follow up on the variations you have to the tush push, what made yesterday the right time to use those, and how do you think it affects the way defenses play you going forward?
Yeah, hopefully you soften them up, right? You soften them up for the next time you run it. I won't get into schematically, Zach, just why we thought in that particular game or when or anything like that. Obviously, for you guys understand that. I appreciate you guys understanding that. But, yeah, you hope that you soften it up for the next time that you run the play. That's a good defense, as we know, with really good interior linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, like you name it. And, you know, it was the right time yesterday for it. And, you know, this, we probably had a couple more of those in 23 and 22 that we ran more so than in 24, that were really, you know, I can think of a couple off the top of my head, that, you know, whether it was at Washington in 23 or against the Giants in 22, that turned into some explosive plays as well. So, it was just the right time yesterday. Kevin did a good job of calling those in those scenarios, and the players did a great job of executing.
We'll go to Brooks and then Martin.
Hey, Nick, with Quinyon Mitchell's play yesterday, I'm just curious what you've seen as the season's begun, some of the things behind the scenes that are matching with the play that's showing up on Sunday.
Yeah, just a relentless guy who relentlessly works every day. You stay out after practice. He's out there working his footwork. He's out there working catches. He's out there working his breaks and his ability to press and all his footwork that goes into playing defensive back. So it's great when you see, and obviously he's highly talented. And so it's great when you see that work, that daily grind, you know, show up, because, you know, we're a product of our habits, and those habits are formed in practice. And I think, you know, you get top level preparation by Q, not only in practice, but in pre and post practice.
We'll go to Martin and then Bo.
Hey, Nick. I was wondering if you're seeing any kind of, common denominator in the way Jalen Hurts is playing, both in the first half against the Rams and then the second half yesterday against the Buccaneers. Like, what kind of adjustments are those teams making to kind of limit his effectiveness?
Yeah, I think he's been, again, really efficient. You look at it, he's in the top 10 at completion percentage. He's in the top 10 of quarterback ratings and top 10 of QBR. All those things, you know, show how efficient that he's been. Obviously, when you're that efficient and you're good on offense, you're going to see people, you're going to see different things from different teams. And it's hard to say, hey, you know, because, and it's, Martin, it's, you know, sometimes it's, they did this, like one team did this, the other team did this, you know, just to try to slow us down. But I've just seen that consistency, efficient play. And, you know, as far as, you know, what one half looked like and what another half looked like, we got to coach more consistent. We got to play more consistent across the board. So we put together a full game. I look at our first four games this year, very similar to what our first four games were last year. You know, we've obviously played a very hard September schedule, you know, and coming out of September last year, you know, it was a good opportunity for us to sit and say, hey, what do we do good? What are we, you know, not doing so good? And try to, you know, figure that out and get better from it and get better every day. Well, it's the same thing here. It's just we have a different record right now. And so we have to have that same hunger, same humbleness that we had last year, this year. You know, trying not to speak too much about, you know, different seasons, but that first month of the season, right, you're figuring some things out, because at the end of the day, you want to continue to play better, 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 so you're playing your best football at the end. And so a lot of things to clean up, at every position, offensively, defensively, special teams, you know, and that's what today was about, was, you know, yesterday we enjoyed it, today back to work, telling each other the truth, in attempts to get better.
We have time for a couple more, so we'll finish with Bo and then EJ.
Following up on that, Nick, both on Jalen and maybe, you know, figuring out who you guys are through the first 4 weeks, is it possible for you to put more on Jalen, on his shoulders in the offense?
I think Jalen's capable of helping us win, any way. Excuse me, any way, that he's proven to that. for the past 4 years of his career. We can win with him playing a lot of different ways. That's why he's a special quarterback. And so whether that's, you know, something in the pass game or check game in his checks or in the run game or his run game checks or him actually running the ball, I think he's proven that he can win multiple ways, which is why we've been able to win so many games. Got a ton of confidence in him and the things that he can do.
We'll finish with EJ here.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned yesterday that you'd probably have a better answer on what kind of stalled out for the run game, and especially in the second half. I guess, what did you see in your film review of the run game?
Yeah, you know, we had some hits. We had some misses, right? And what happens sometimes on the misses is when it turns into a negative, it puts you behind. And so, you know, we had a little bit too many negatives yesterday for different reasons. It's never just going to be, oh, it was this or, oh, it was that. There's always, you know, this is why it's the greatest team sport there is. There's always different things pointing to, you know, why a play was successful or why a play wasn't successful. But I think at the end of the day, we weren't efficient enough, you know, and that's going to be something that we'll do everything we can to make sure we're playing efficient and in the run and the pass, because we know when we do that, you know, good things happen for our offense.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you.
There he is, Nick Sirianni. Handled the A.J. Brown question, I thought, well, got in, got out. They asked him, A, if he wants to be here. Of course, Nick said yes. And then, B, if he dealt with the tweet. Sounded like he had, but said he wasn't going to talk about it, and that's that. I think the interesting thing will be, does Jalen talk on Mondays?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
When Jalen talks, and right. Then if the reporters are able to find A.J. Brown in the locker room at some point this year.
Or, yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, well,
to hear A.J. No, Jalen's not going to say anything.
So the end of 23, he didn't talk for what, 3 weeks?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. He had nothing. He said, "If I have nothing nice to say, he didn't want to say."
He didn't want to speak at all.
Right. Basically, okay. Which we could enter into that period
where he just doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he declined last night.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he's not required to talk, so they probably would prefer it that way if he's not going to say something
that's going to diffuse
in a positive light or something to that nature. Yeah, it's probably best if he doesn't speak.
Are you ready for the when he says that everybody misinterpreted it for everyone to say, "Bah, we told you."
Yeah.
There goes WIP.
Even though the head coach just addressed it.
Yes, right.
it's just so clearly they interpret it the same way. Because the coach could have said, "Well, yeah, that was nothing. He was tweeting about something else."
Loves the Bible.
Yeah.
That's why he's tweeting about Bible verse. Yeah.
Could have easily have said that. And what he said is he understands AJ wants to contribute to the winning.
Yes.
Like, that's what he said. He said, and we all understand that.
Yep.
We all understand that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If Donovan McNabb will join us at 4:30. They touched on it at the end. I thought it was we talked so much about the passing game. We haven't talked about the running game very often so far this year. And they asked Nick a question.
Or an opportunistic defense.
Or the opportunistic defense,
man.
Yeah.
And I wish Cooper came up with that interception.
Oh, yeah. That was it. Well, he baited Baker into that.
Yeah.
Because when you...
How did he not have that? He caught it, but then it slipped
hit the
through.
Ground.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It slipped through. You got to catch that, Coop.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, bro. Trying to get you to the Pro Bowl.
I think he's going to be in the Pro Bowl.
Well, he's going to start getting turnovers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to.
You need some kind of a stat.
Yeah, you got to have sacks, interceptions, something, forced fumbles. Yeah, just tackles ain't going to get you there.
So they asked Nick about the running game at the end there. I think that part is getting to the point now where it's a little troublesome. I think we're all just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
But after four games, I know it's just four games, but four games of declining productivity each game, and we're at a point where Saquon is, what, 3 yards a carry?
Yeah.
And he had 17 runs of 20 yards or more last year.
Yeah.
Six or seven 60-yard plus runs, and we haven't had one 20-yard run from Saquon.
Can't get to the edge.
No. And they hit that screen pass early yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think he hit Saquon twice, I think, with receptions.
Out of the backfield. One versus a blitz where Saquon released quick. I like that instead of keeping Saquon in the block. Yep. He releases quick. Hey, they don't pick you up. Dump it to Saquon.
Yeah, and he will drop passes, but if you remember, his rookie year, he caught 65 passes, I think. They just have to find a way, not just to get – and that would help to get Saquon involved, but to figure out a way for this running game to really get going. And if it is an execution issue, that part is a little worrisome because you can say we're one block away for one game or two games or three. But when you are at a quarter of the season and you're one block away, it starts to get to the point where you start asking yourself the question, are we ever going to get that one block?
Yeah, make the block.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, that right side has been in flux. Lane has been banged up. He left the game again yesterday for a period of time. So the offensive line is just not playing at the same level it played at last year. It just isn't.
And Dickerson's not 100%.
Dickerson's been injured. Like we saw that. You know, tough as he is, you know, did he come back too soon? So now is he completely healed? So he's dealing with an injury, and he's trying to be out there for his teammates. So you commend him for that. But they're just not as effective this year running the football on the edges. And somehow they got to fix that because what it seems like is they're sort of funneling Saquon inside.
Yes.
Right? Most of his runs have to go in the A and B gaps where there are more tacklers. There are just more defenders there.
And we're weaker, and by the way.
Yeah, it's harder for him to make people miss when he has to run up in the inside like that. So we got to get that fixed too.
Yeah.
You have to get that fixed.
I mean, it was the fact that they're 4-0 without Saquon – having even one really good game so far this year is unbelievable.
Listen.
Yeah.
The fact that they're 4-0 with Saquon averaging less than 3.5 yards a carry, and we're averaging .130 in passing, which is like 28th or 29th in the league. How the hell are they 4-0?
Well, by the way, with two halves this year with negative passing yards.
Yeah.
In the last two games.
Yeah.
Against the Rams and the Bucks. Yeah.
They've been outgained in every game.
Oh, really? Yardage-wise?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why, so when people say, just be happy with the win, this is why people who look into this thing deeper aren't satisfied with it, because we know that it's going to be hard to continue to win when the results are like this. Sure, you're winning the turnover battle. We're opportunistic late in games. A couple big ones yesterday. You know, that Jahad Campbell interception was huge. I mean, the Bucks had all the momentum. I'm thinking they're getting ready to go in and score.
By the way, great play by Reed tipping that ball.
Yep, Reed Blankenship.
Who knows what happens if he doesn't tip that ball.
Absolutely right. Reed Blankenship getting his hand on that pass. Yeah, we needed that. Jahad coming up with that fumble. I really think, you know, Bucky Irvin, he let that ball go because his ankle got rolled up.
Hmm? Yeah. I was shocked he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, that's why he let that ball go, because his ankle was injured on that play. And, man, that seemed like a big momentum change. And it set us up for another score. Was that the tush push to the outside? I think we scored on that.
Might have been that one. Yes.
From that play. So we needed the defense to come up with some plays for us to be 4-0.
Well, every single week. I mean, now, CeeDee Lamb just dropped the ball.
Sure.
A couple of times.
But we still needed Sanders that bummer fumble after the Miles Sanders long run.
You're 100% right. Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Travis Kelce.
The blocked field goals.
Yep.
That's not defense, but it's still essentially defense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Like Jeff Kerr put this out yesterday. Saquon Barkley is 42nd out of 48 running backs in yards per carry. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith are in the top 50 in receiving yards. Top 50.
Top 50.
Jalen Hurts is 23rd out of 31 quarterbacks in yards per attempt.
And they're 4-0.
And they're 4-0.
It's unbelievable.
A, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody showed you those numbers, you'd be like, man, they're 1-3.
Yes. Yeah. For yeah. sure. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Donovan McNabb will join us. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Join us tonight for the Donovan McNabb is next. Yeah. Jordan Mailata show at 6. Go. And then the Players Lounge with IQ Elliott and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan McNabb joins us momentarily. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, do you like Nick Sirianni jawing with Baker Mayfield yesterday? Do you love it or are you annoyed by it? What do you think the results are, Ike?
Love it.
Give me a percentage.
68.
58.3% okay. Love it. Yeah. Love it to win, hate it and loss. I think
of course. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely would have hated it and lost.
Did you ever have a coach who would have, in the NFL, no. would have done that? It's certainly not an Andy thing.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, Jim Moore Jr. was sort of, he was one of those passionate type coaches. I don't remember him getting into it with any players like that, but he certainly was a little bit of a hothead on the sideline.
And what did you think when you saw it?
Oh.
Did you just go, that's coach?
Sort of, because, you know, as a player, you're kind of like, yeah, coach is fired up. He's usually arguing on our behalf or fighting for something for us. So that sort of lights a little bit of a fire under you. It's when it becomes something that's a distraction or it's always there, where you'll roll your eyes like, oh, God, here he goes again. Kind of like Nick was early.
Yes.
You know, when Jalen used to get like, you know, Jalen would do the eye roll thing like, oh, God.
Yeah, there he goes again.
There he goes again.
Well, yeah. the thing with Nick is you want him to be that fiery guy. It's a matter of finding the balance of when to do it, when not to do it. You know, because when you do things like that and you lose, people will throw it back in your face.
Yes.
You know?
Well, you should never talk to another player. Normally it was yelling at the official.
Yes.
That's what Jim Moore
was. Not at the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, it wasn't opposing players.
Saying Baker.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, joining us now, the greatest quarterback in Eagles history and the greatest guest in WIP Afternoon Show history.
Oh, I tell you, you're getting better and better every week, man.
That is one Donovan McNabb. What's up, Donovan?
Well, good afternoon, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man, just another somber day out there in Philadelphia, huh? Everybody just, you know, trying to nitpick a win, huh?
No, we're not doing that. We're being positive. We're being positive.
Okay. So well, what's the first question you're going to ask me?
I'm going to ask you, in the first half of yesterday's game, what did you see that went right for the Eagles offensively?
Well, good thing our special teams are playing well, but I will say this. I think as far as our offense is concerned, I talked about it at the beginning of the season. A lot of where we are right now is the fact that these guys do not play in the preseason. And I think, you know, obviously saving bodies from the long season that we had last season and the hoopla and everybody getting excited. But we have to remember that we have a new coordinator in place and it's new play calling, it's fresh ideas, it's still keeping the same approach and mentality, but we're not doing that. And the way that I look at it is first of all, the first couple of weeks is to me is about guys kicking rust off, somewhat getting themselves in game shape because they didn't play in the preseason. And then I look at the play calling. We are not utilizing the play action game and also Saquon Barkley the way that we should. Now, obviously we don't, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his wheels at this particular point, and we don't want to kind of just, you know, just give him 30 carries a game or 25 to 30 carries. I look at where Saquon is at this particular point coming off a great season. He should at least get 18 carries with about maybe five or six, you know, catches out of the backfield and utilize him in that way. I thought this game was more or less to try to please, you know, all the fans and show them, hey, you know, we can throw the football when we really didn't throw the football downfield as much as we could have, which led to our first half performance being so much different than our second half performance. So right now I think the problem is that we have no identity with this offense. It's up in the air each and every week. And until they really establish that, we're going to continue to have questions and people are going to be watching with a magnifying glass.
So when you say they haven't established their identity, which by the way, I agree. I think overall from the team, they're 4-0, which is great. Last year, we knew exactly who the team was. We don't really know who they are this year.
We really didn't know. Yeah. And to be honest, it's not to cut you off, but we didn't know. And that was part of my questioning last year. And Ike will be able to back me with this.
Yep.
That was my main thing. It was, what is our identity? And that was something that I told everyone, that with our new coordinator, who's not known for running the football, because him being in Dallas, they didn't have the running attack that we had here in Philadelphia. Then going over to the Chargers, he didn't have it as well. Didn't utilize Austin Eckler as what we had to use, obviously, Saquon with. So he was catching the ball out of the backfield, run some screen routes, and then, you know, he would get occasional maybe 12 carries a game or so. But now you got a workhorse, and now you got to change the identity of this football team. And I think it may have been, I could be wrong here, but it may have been around week five to seven, even though he came out and ran the football well against Green Bay overseas. But I still thought that he was still trying to form an identity and what we were really going to be. And it wasn't until about week five, week six, week seven.
Oh, yeah, I meant by the end of the year we knew what the identity was. That was the context.
But again, now we're starting over, and it's tough. It's tough for him because it could go either way. It could be in a position where it changes for the better like it did last year, or it could be the year when we did go undefeated early on and all of a sudden the bottom fell out and we lost a bunch of those games toward the end of the season and our coordinators both got fired.
So when you're looking at the personnel here, if you were to design the offense, if you were to say, here is the identity we have, what does the offense look like in its best form, in your opinion? Because we can't do what we did last year, right?
Well, yes and no. You know, because you got to give a lot of credit to other teams that you're playing because they're going to game plan that as well. It has to be more of a downhill type of running attack, because then we can utilize our play-action game. Now, with that play-action game, it's not so much always taking shots downfield, but what you're doing is you're putting a lot of pressure on safeties and linebackers by the play-action with Saquon Barkley. And now that's when your tight ends begin to get a little bit more involved, your slot receivers. And then you can utilize your big receivers, meaning your A.J. Browns, and then you can get over the top with some of your faster receivers. But one thing I will say this, is that every time that I look at our passing game when it's clicking, there's a receiver that continues to gel and continues to shine because he's such a great route runner, and that's Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. I think he has to be more of a vital part of this offense. And yes, A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown, but I think what you do is you attack a little bit more the intermediate to downfield with Devontae Smith because he's such a great route runner, and be able to utilize A.J. Brown in the intermediate part of the field, which will lead to, obviously, Dallas Goedert being a little bit more involved, Saquon Barkley on your checkdowns getting more involved, and then other guys being able to at least contribute to what we're doing. But it has to start with the downhill running attack.
Yeah, I thought the first half, man, Kevin Petullo did a very good job play calling. It looked like they did some different stuff. They got the tight end involved.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little shovel pass. I know you love the shovel pass. They ran that in the first
easy
half.
Easy touchdown. Good easy touchdown. Yep, thank you very much.
And if the ball hits the ground, it's an incomplete pass. It's
incomplete
not a fumble.
Pass.
Yeah, so right. I like what they did in the first half. Man, what happened in the second half? Like, what were they doing differently that didn't work in the first half? I mean, work in the second half that they were doing in the first half. I just can't figure out why we can't put two halves together of good offensive football.
Well, if you look at the numbers, and what do we go, 0 for 8 in the second half?
Yep.
To only throw for less than 115 yards in the first half, that's not very good.
Yeah.
And to think about it, what is that average? Maybe about, 7 yards a reception, 8 yards a reception?
Mm-hmm.
So now, pretty much, if you look at it from a player standpoint and now the quarterback standpoint, pretty much you're hitting checkdowns. You know what I mean? So your routes are quick hitches, slants, something quick game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might get a 15-yard reception here and there. It's not like you got a 30-yard reception. It's not like you got an explosive play in there where all of a sudden you're 9 for 11 with 115 yards because you got an explosive play. To me, it was more a methodical type of offense, and then we weren't able to open it up. And so when I look at the 9 targets that A.J. got, half of them looked like it was more of just trying to get him a catch.
Right.
I give credit to Ben Morrison, who, I've watched Ben since he's been pretty much in high school. And Ben played A.J. great. But the route running, I look at it like we could easily run dig routes with A.J. Brown, some shallow cross routes with A.J. Brown, where now he's on the move. Put him in the slot a little bit to run a post or attack the safeties in cover two or whatever it may be. But just being outside, yeah, if you got a good corner who's sitting on those quick intermediate routes, he's going to do what he did with A.J. Brown, be able to knock it down. Like, if you look at the catches that A.J. had in the Rams game,
yeah,
they weren't explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
They were curl routes. They were stop routes. You know, he might catch an out cut at about 6 to 8 yards or maybe deeper. But it wasn't anything like he was attacking downfield on a post. Or
he caught the one deep ball. He caught the one deep ball.
That was a goal
in
ball.
The second half. Yeah, he caught the one.
That was one goal ball.
Yep.
But that's not like a staple in this offense with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it goes back to 2 years ago when we did attack more downfield. But it was a new coordinator. It was, somebody that's not there anymore. But I just look at where we are right now with this offense. It's so methodical that it's more, everything under 15 yards or 18 yards, you know what I'm saying? And so it's not pressing the ball downfield. And you got to be able to utilize your guy in the backfield being Saquon, where we utilize Brian Westbrook. Like, everybody knew what Brian Westbrook could bring to the table. It was running the football, catching the football, and also picking up the blitz. Same thing with Saquon is. Yeah. But we got to utilize him in that way.
Yep.
So A.J. has never been one to be a church mouse when he's not happy about not getting the ball. And I was curious if you had seen the tweet he sent out yesterday after the game and your reaction to that.
One thing that I don't do is I don't try to break down cryptic messages.
Right.
If you're going to say something and you've already wasted, expended the energy of typing this, then just say what's on your mind. Like, the whole deal, and I try to, go back to everything that I've been seeing, the whole reading of the book on the sideline, when everybody laughed and joked and all of a sudden the book sales went out, that ain't something that I'm used to seeing on the sideline. And coaches, when I came up, that's disrespectful to the team and coaches. And so now we're the tweet game is starting to come into effect, where I'm sure that's a conversation that somebody's having in the building, like, I don't know what you meant by that. What did you mean by that? Somebody needs to ask that. Like, what did you mean by that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, really, to be honest with you, and I think where we are in today's game, and where these guys are of just being, you know, wanting to be free and have their own podcast and do all this other stuff where they're talking, that type of stuff stays in the locker room. And when it comes out, it becomes a problem. Because I guarantee you this, if they lose this next game, they're going to go back to that tweet, and it's going to be, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think they'll wait till the next game, to be good, to be quite honest.
Wait till Wednesday.
I guarantee you this week people may ask a little bit around that question. They won't go right into it, and they won't get the answer they think you're going to get. And so now, if things don't get better next week or it gets worse, now where are we at? We're going to go back to what we've been asking this week, and why did you put that out there?
It was one of the better games we've seen. And Quinyon Mitchell has been excellent since he's been an Eagle, but that was one of his better.
I agree.
Yesterday, one of his better performances. When you're watching Quinyon Mitchell, what is your analysis of him as a corner and what his future might look like?
Future, I don't know. But as of right now, I remember when he came out of college, I thought he was a dog. He had great hips. You know, he was an aggressive corner. He was a guy that you didn't see too many people running past him. He does a great job with his physicality as well as his movement. He's very balanced, and it shows. I thought he should have been Defensive Rookie of the Year. But the problem is we got to fill in that other corner. We got to find out who's on that other side. We've already been through three of them. And I will say Ringo, who I've watched through high school when he was here in Arizona, I think he's a solid corner, but he's more of a zone corner. He's more of a zone corner where he has to be off and looking at the quarterback. He's not a man corner. He's more of a zone, which is not bad because in Vic Fangio's offense, that's kind of what he needs from his corner. I've never seen Quinyon Mitchell moving and following a receiver, which now they know that can happen. But that other corner has to play well. So, yes, you want Cooper DeJean inside where he's playing a nickelback or possibly playing the number two receiver. I thought he would be the opposite corner, but he's doing a great job in the role that he's asked to do. So defensively, I will say I'm impressed by the way they've been playing. But offensively, we got to be able to, you know, be a little bit more explosive.
Yeah, I mean, the most of our explosive plays last year were Saquon, and we haven't had one this year, you know. And it's been a huge change. So we've talked so much about the passing game, it's almost like the fact that they haven't been able to run the ball well has not
run
been...
Run the football.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's where it starts. It, to me, again, it starts with the run game. And you can do so much in the run game. And yes, we've had some guys in and out on the O-line that have been banged up. Yes, I understand that. But we have to run the football, at least attempt-wise. It has to be a consistent, not just with Jalen adding to the run game. But in the run game we have with Saquon and A.J. Dillon, we should be able to run the football at least 35 times a game.
All right, Donovan. Great as always.
4-0, big dog. 4-0.
4-0.
Yes, we are 4-0. We are 4-0. Yes, winning covers up a lot. But when we start getting to the midpoint and later part of the season, answers got to be delivered.
Look at you nitpicking. We're just happy they won.
I'm just putting a straight out statement out there.
I got gotcha.
It does. It All right, does. Now you're nitpicking.
No, I'm not. I am not nitpicking. You're nitpicking. All right, Donovan. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, broski.
All right, you guys. Take it easy. You guys.
There he is, Donovan McNabb. You know, the play action thing.
Yeah.
Is here's the issue. The play action doesn't really work unless you're under center, right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. You can do that thing when you're a shotgun. Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't really work. Yeah.
So the problem is that just from a comfort level, it doesn't seem like Jalen is super comfortable passing the ball under center. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that if the only thing that you're doing when you're under center
is
that or running the ball, mm-hmm. no one's ever going to buy that you are – he's just not comfortable passing out of that formation. So if they could get – we talked about it a little bit last year. Mm-hmm. It's just the defense has to wonder what's going to happen when you're in a certain formation. And they don't really wonder what's going to happen when they're under center because they only run the ball when they're under center.
Yeah, I mean, listen, quarterbacks that are good at the play action, you got to turn your back to the defense,
yep.
fake like you're giving a run, and then you got to get that head around quick and be able to read that defense and know where you're going with the football. Some quarterbacks, you know, these guys don't come up playing under center and playing that way, right? I think about the quarterback in New York now, Jackson Dart.
Yep.
He spent his whole college career in a shotgun.
Yeah.
And you put these guys under center, they're not as comfortable. So with Jalen throwing the ball, I don't think he's ever been comfortable playing from under the center. Like you said, usually he's going to hand the ball off if he's under center. And we don't do much play action. Hell, if any. Man, I love to see, you know, Peyton Manning used to do that, you know, that stretch play action where he fakes like they're going to run the ball to the outside and he pulls it back and now you're ready to throw the ball down the field. Yeah, we don't do any of that type of stuff.
Well, Mylotta said after the game that he wants more play action.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And the last time the offensive line
last
said
time
something.
They spoke.
Yeah. Well, they're big.
They want.
They got their way.
They're big guys. They tell you what they want. You do it. Yeah. Well, they're too big.
Saquon has carried the ball the second most in the league.
Really?
77 carries behind Josh Jacobs has 80 carries.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, good thing we're giving him a lighter load this year.
But Josh Jacobs looks fine.
Nope.
You don't think so?
3.5 yards per carry.
I thought he had some big runs last night. Look spry.
Well, nobody was playing defense last night.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm looking at his carries, and both of those guys, I didn't even look at Derek Henry's, but both of those guys shouldered the load last year for their team, Saquon and Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
And you see this year, they're not averaging 4 yards a carry.
Derrick Henry's got to hold on to the football.
Who could have predicted
and
that?
He's fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jackson Dart. That kid's – God bless him. He's going to be hurt within 3 weeks. You see the way he runs.
Neighbors.
Yeah, you see the way he runs the ball. He is somebody's going to drill him. You know, like I can just tell by watching. He thinks he's young and you know he could do whatever. He's in the NFL now. So
oh
like,
yeah, don't worry, he'll get that welcome moment.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Oh, James in Nashville, you never got your one more thing out. What's your one more thing?
Hey, I just wanted to get y'all's take on the. AI step over by Cooper DeJean. To me, it was electric. I would have taken a 50-yard penalty and automatic.
My thing with the taunting is
electric.
Like, who's the taunting for? Like people, the fans like it.
Yeah, but they don't want them taunting other players.
Yeah,
because
they don't want players to retaliate.
That's the problem.
And I understand it. It's just this is football. Like their goal is to go out there and like almost hurt the other player in a way. It's like hard to just tone that down when you make a big play.
Well, you just don't do
exactly.
it.
So,
we just can't celebrate in the guy's face.
Yeah. And by That's the way, thank you for the
he
call, James.
He did not have to step over it.
No.
I'm just saying, but when you do that, they're looking for it.
Yeah.
Like they're looking for it. And I thought Coop played a hell of a game yesterday.
He did.
Played a hell of a game yesterday. Tackles everywhere.
Yeah. By the way, Zach Bond, too. Zach Another Bond one. Somehow yep. looks better this year than he looked last yep. year. He looks electric, Zach Bond. He's all over the place.
Jihad, he'll learn.
Yes.
Don't lose your luggage. Keep your eyes on your luggage.
I saw there was a quote from Zach Bond afterwards. He said he doesn't even know what he's doing yet,
yeah.
and he's this good. Like he's going to be really, really,
oh,
really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, you can see it. Because anytime you're playing this well this early, he hasn't even learned the NFL game yet.
Yeah, especially when he's going to be an edge rusher.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn two positions.
We're waiting.
Yeah.
They could use some help on the edge.
And Drew. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah. He,
I don't know how he missed that ball.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, the deep one. Yeah,
yes, it went right next to his arm. Yeah.
I don't know how he missed that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494 as we continue to talk about yesterday's Eagles win. Eagles are 4-0 next weekend against the Denver Broncos.
Ooh, another spike.
On
game.
A short week.
Yeah.
Because they play tonight against the
Bengals.
Bengals, right.
Ooh.
It's two games tonight.
Some tough football tonight.
Jets,
Dolphins, and Bengals, Broncos.
AJ's going to have to deal with Pat Surtain next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he'll have a lot of fun with that.
How about you, Jack?
What?
You think they should just switch jerseys at halftime?
Again, I'm very, very, very Team AJ. Ooh.
You imagine Pat Surtain and Quinyon Mitchell?
I know.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Come on.
Well, listen, we don't throw the ball anyway.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think – why didn't they go after – it was interesting to me. there must be a scheme reason of something the Eagles were doing that prevented the Bucs from targeting Ringo. Because it seemed like they went after Quinyon the whole game instead of going after Ringo.
Well, because Quinyon followed whatchamacallit everywhere.
Yeah, the rookie. The good receiver.
Yeah. Emeka Buku.
Emeka Buku.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494.
They had to throw it to him.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody else to throw it to.
But Godwin's been – that was his first game of the year, right?
Yeah.
All right. Jack's got his game balls coming up next.
Hell yeah.
And I actually think, real quick.
Yeah.
Ringo had probably a play or two he wishes he had back, but –
he was all right.
I thought he played well yesterday.
He made a big play on third or fourth down. Mm-hmm. He made one.
Tackle back there. Yeah. I thought Ringo probably got to give him credit. He played well yesterday. First start out there.
Jack, you got your game balls ready?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Who's going to get them? They're all huddling around the radio.
Yep. After Nick's press conference.
Yeah. That took an hour.
Yep. All right. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.